Sideshow is supported by SC Group, proud supporters of ViewHouse, the new music website and app from the nation's leading and most influential public radio music stations. See unique live performances and videos from the newest and most innovative artists curated for you under one roof. Download the free app or visit ViewHouse.com, V-U-H-A-U-S.com.
Parental advisory. Many naughty words in this episode of Sideshow.
What is your relation to me?
I'm your mother.
Oh my God. Do you listen to my podcast?
Yes, I do.
How many episodes have you listened to?
43.
So, as someone who's listened to more Sideshow episodes than there even are, what do you think I should do for the last episode of Sideshow?
Have a blast.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramosferm. This is my last episode of Sideshow. I didn't know I wanted to make this podcast until I started making this podcast, and it's been so much fun making Sideshow for you, for the internet, and I miss it already. But I wanted to try something different, and whatever that thing is, it'll probably drop sometime early next year at WNYC, and if all goes according to plan, it'll be called Faux Show. Anyway, figuring out what to do for my last episode of Sideshow was really difficult. I didn't just want to introduce you to another person doing another brilliant creative thing on the internet, though I really do love doing that. And I think the reason I love doing that so much is that I've been trying to do creative stuff on the internet myself since my family got DSL back in the late 90s. That was about when my brother first got me making stuff for the internet.
My name is Nimesh. I'm Sean's brother.
Do you remember when we got the internet, bro?
I do remember when we got the internet.
Was that a big deal? Was that a big moment for us?
Yes, I do remember it being cool. There wasn't. I do also remember there kind of wasn't much to do yet.
No one had done, like, Disney princesses as hot dogs yet.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It hadn't totally found its, like, creative hook yet.
Right. But then, like, several... So that was... I think we started with the 28K, and then we upped to the 56K. But then we got DSL, and then all of a sudden, you could get creative because you had internet that was, like, fast enough to support your creative impulses. And what did we start doing?
Absolutely. My recollection is right away. I don't even know how I heard about it, but right away, using Blogger to start blogging.
And what did you start blogging about?
Anything at all that was going on in my head, because there wasn't much going on in my life, so I'm pretty sure it was just all stuff, things going on in my head.
My earliest recollection of, like, you blogging and me really, of course, always, like, wanting to be just like you, my older brother, wanting to blog for you, was that you had a website called The Critics, I think?
Yes. And I believe that happened very quickly, because, like, one of the first things I did on my own blog was review that week's X-Files episode. I just knew I spent a lot of time thinking about these things that I had no one to talk about them with, like analyzing TV shows, thinking about nerdy, you know, running stories and comic books and things like that, and I had no outlet to, like, vent those things or even talk about those things.
And then eventually that blog evolved into one where you were writing film reviews and you had, like, four or five of your friends and internet friends also writing film reviews with you, and I was begging you to write a film review. I think I may have written a review for, like, American Pie. Why would anyone write a film review for no one? That's the thing that makes me laugh thinking back, and it's like, who would want to read some friggin' 12-year-old's opinion of American Pie?
You know? It's funny. I mean, people did read this site, not that many. Obviously, I'm sure we topped out on, like, at, like, 25 unique readers or something like that. But it's interesting because there weren't ways to tag things. There weren't a lot of ways to get attention.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of had to hope, like, cross your fingers people would see it.
Yeah.
Which did work slightly. Like, I still have friends that I just met from people randomly finding my blog.
Yeah.
To this day. And that was over 10 years ago.
And was that the whole point, was to just make connections with people, be they, like, two people or 10 people or 100 people?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think that was the Well, there were two points. One was the fact that I was clearly a writer. I just didn't realize it for another 10 years. But then the other was, yes, to meet people, because I don't think in real life I was having the conversations that I wanted to have.
And so, you know, fast forwarding 16, 15 years, we both still maintain blogs that hardly anyone reads.
Yes.
Why do you think we're still writing blog posts for no one and not actually using the internet to further our blogging aspirations?
To me, I feel like it's a means to an end at this point. You know, I want to be a writer. Right now, no one's paying me to write. That's not going to stop me from writing.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you feel the same way. Like, we're not happy to just sit there and consume the internet. We want to be part of it.
When I was 16, I moved from Toronto to Los Angeles with my mom and dad, this perfectly generic, manicured-looking suburb called Santa Clarita. My brother did not come. He was a lot more faithful to our home and native land. Because of that, I spent a few months alone in my bedroom crying in the fetal position. But thankfully and eventually, I made friends at my new school, and we'd spend the rest of high school and all of college making mostly ridiculous stuff and posting it online. Videos, music, parody websites. We were super productive in a totally useless way. Okay, so this is for the final episode of Sideshow. That's where you guys are supposed to be like, oh man, I'm so
damn.
Horrible.
No.
Just want to make sure if there are any listeners left that they would just tune out for this last episode. Three people they've never heard of in their life, never will.
You know, the thing about my podcast, what I love about it, is that it's usually someone you've never heard of.
Oh, right. Well,
there you go.
And then you make the case for why you should listen to that person.
We've got our work cut out for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm Andrew Werner.
I'm Zach Hunsaker.
I'm Colin Teagues, and I'm just some dweeb who woke up this morning and got a haircut so he could do a radio interview.
So part of my hope is that we can talk about these things, but no one will be inclined to look them up because I feel like if they go deep enough, or not even that deep
yeah,
at all,
can they?
It will something in there will destroy me.
I know I can think of a few things on the Posse X website that might.
So okay, Posse X. What is Posse X, and how did that happen? Anyone?
It was an extreme walking club. Extreme sports were real big, right? All the Doritos bags were getting X's on them and stuff like that. Everybody had to jump on the bandwagon, so I guess the Saugus ASB did too. And
Saugus is the name of the high school we went to, and this is like circa 2001.
Forgive me, I'm dropping tons of context here. Yeah, you know, just be in my own head.
That's why I'm here.
Anyway, they decided that they'd have a large rally, pep rally, that they rolled in, I think, like football stuff into, but it was mainly like extreme sports, and everyone was encouraged to submit your own extreme sports video, like wakeboarding and skating and stuff.
Yeah, they had like a gigantic projector in the gymnasium, and they were playing like a lot of dudes snowboarding, I remember.
Yeah, definitely.
Skateboarding.
Motorcycles. Mm-hmm.
Doing actual sports.
Yeah. And so that was what we submitted the original Posse X video for, in which we ran around a park and vaguely jumped off of things and grabbed our legs and... Then at the end, we did that wonderful shot where we all were saluting the flag or had our hands over our hearts, and it was beautiful.
It was counterculture to mock the predominant culture at the school. Is that fair? Or is that way deeper than like anything we ever considered?
I don't know if we were smart enough to think of it in that way at the time, but that was probably
But that's definitely
happening.
What it was, right?
Yeah. I mean, we went to a predominantly white school full of rich kids that all had money to like snowboard and do all these ridiculous sports.
Did it bring you guys closer to people who also found sort of this environment totally laughable and ridiculous?
I do remember once the website went up, it spread around Saugus pretty fast, and I would be walking to classes and like freshmen would like yell like Sir Extreme and like put their hands up in an X.
Oh, I remember that.
For me, yeah.
That's true. I forgot about that.
A lot of people knew us by our alter egos on the website. The internet was just an easy way to show people things instead of like having to have your friends come over like, oh, look at this thing I made. You could just throw it up on the internet and talk to them about it on AOL chat and stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, at that time, there wasn't a YouTube even.
There wasn't
YouTube. We hosted the videos on our own web server that crashed all the time because people would go look at them and it would be like, oh, crap, man, too many hits. It's down. It's gone.
Right. Yeah. Colin, you're talking about these videos we made after Posse X, which were these like sort of sketch comedy pre-web series shorts. Some of them were subversive and some of them were the silliest kinds of silly, but we got hundreds and hundreds of views for them. I found one of them, T-64 Robot Champion, which is about a robot who really wants to be human.
And so T-64 went on a journey to find his heart. He encountered many new friends, none of whom loved him. Many enemies and many great adventures. Until one day, T-64 stumbled upon a man on a park bench.
I was all over that lady, right? And then she was like, oh, champ,
beep,
I want you.
Beep, beep.
What the fuck?
I love you!
better. I think at the time I didn't think much of it. It just seemed like this is something I was doing and I'd probably continue to do it forever. And that was like whatever. And it was nothing was very serious in life back then, obviously. So
we were all pretty, I think, overwhelmed by living in a place where there's people who weren't like us at all. So we made a lot of things, I think, that expressed the way that we felt.
I mean, so there's that. We crashed a website. We had Posse X, which I guess crashed an extreme video competition. You guys had bands that played shows at like big venues. There was all these different ways that we tried to connect. And I feel like it was in this pre-internet age where we were never trying to like get famous or start a career. It was just we were doing the things that people do now with purpose, but without any purpose. And it's kind of a beautiful thing.
Well, I don't think it was really clear that you could parlay that into a career back then, right? Yeah, it was like nobody thought that like some network exec was looking to comb you and pick you up for the next big primetime comedy. You were just doing it for the hell of it.
We were just trying to have fun in the desert, basically.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And I do look back on it now and think to myself, like, God damn, why did we stop? Like, we should have just kept going.
And why did we stop? All of these things, we talk about them all in the past tense, obviously.
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
And then what happened?
I don't know. I think it was like you just, when you start realizing like, holy crap, I'm like flunking out of college. I should probably do something about that and attempt that. And it just kind of sucks it all away. And it was foolish. I regret it, if I'm honest.
Before Colin started taking college more seriously, we all had one more ridiculous artistic indulgence. We formed a rap posse called Pocket Malfunction. Come up with them rhymes, come up with them quick. Hey, party boy, this is some serious shit. We get the posse back together for one last song after a quick message about our sponsor.
Sideshow costs money. Yes, it costs money.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Sean.
So you've done this like a million times for Sideshow, and I've never really thanked you, which is terrible, but I kind of liked the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough podcasts have good mysteries, and this was the little mystery in my podcast that someone with an insanely good voice sang a bit every episode, and no one knew who it was, and it was just kind of random. But I think it's time we reveal to the world who has this amazing set of pipes.
Well, I'm Alethea.
Alethea who?
Alethea John.
And where do you work?
I work in facilities. At New York Public Radio.
AKA WNYC.
Amen.
I think I saw you at like the Christmas party, like blasting out Christmas carols, and I was like, my jaw dropped.
Well, I'm glad because I love to sing and I love to come up here and just blast out for you.
It's usually like halfway through the workday. Mm-hmm. You get to come up here and just like express whatever
you're feeling. Belt it out.
Cool. Do you sing a lot like outside of work?
I used to when I was younger in church, but now it's totally different. And now a lot of times you just get to do it for Christmas time, which is not enough for me.
Well, I'm hoping this last episode of Sideshow gets you like a record deal or something.
Well!
Well, you know what I was thinking is at the end of this episode, I'm making a song with some friends, I think, to sort of throw at the end. And I was wondering if you would maybe like sing the hook.
Oh!
Would you be into that?
Definitely. I would love to.
Cool.
But before we end, I just want to say, I thank you, I thank you, and I thank you, Studio 360, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, Sideshow Wants Money.
I wish I could sing back, like, you're welcome, but my voice sucks, but I'm trying anyway.
Well, that's what it's called. It's called trying, and you do it any day.
Sideshow is supported by SC Group, proud supporters of ViewHouse, a new nonprofit music app and website created by the country's leading public radio music stations. They know you want to find out about new artists and learn more about established artists, and the ViewHouse music app makes it possible. See featured performances from KCRW in Los Angeles, WXPN in Philadelphia, and KUTX in Austin. Download the free ViewHouse mobile app or visit ViewHouse.com, ViewHouse.com.
the pocket, the key to your locket, the three-prong plug in your electrical socket, like Davy Crockett. We're nice and friendly, we'll hold the door, we're gentlemanly. Take you out.
If we were gonna like play a song for the people to give them an impression of what Pocket Malfunction was, what song would that be?
Unicycle Cop, probably, right?
Or Ceiling Fans.
Or Ceiling
Either
Fans,
or.
Yeah. Those, I think those sum up the spirit of the project. I don't know, just because we're on radio, I'm trying to like talk about it like it's something more dignified.
Yeah,
than
right.
Those you guys in my bathroom, like screwing about a Unicycle Cop over like a beat I made, and then throwing it up on MySpace,
yeah,
and like getting like 15 plays from our friends.
I showed up, drank a six pack, and then read words off a sheet that Sean wrote, and to a vague beat. But it was a beat like, "Colin, come in now when I stamp on your foot." Like, you got it.
Colin Teague's coming in at the wrong time. I didn't write the beat. I didn't write the rhyme. Some people call me Boots, some people call me Genius. The Unicycle Cop's got more crabs than the peach does. The tired balance man leaves one tire tread. If I had my way, that Quimby'd be dead. If you see him coming, better step aside. Throw a stick in his spokes and watch that motherfucker slide. On his face.
Oh. When will you understand? He's a one-wheel beast of a man. He's the Unicycle Cop. And the beat could stop, but the song would not.
Yeah, the best part about Pocket Malfunction was Colin had no musical experience or any kind of musical talent whatsoever.
Nothing's changed, man. Believe me. It's the same.
So his version of rapping was just trying to talk over the beat and get finished before the next part came in. No rhythm or anything to it. And sometimes
it's a really regimented flow.
He would speed up at the end to try and like finish a line so the next person could come in.
That's entirely true. Entirely true.
You know, people who didn't know us have listened to Pocket Malfunction since I still kind of talk about it sometimes with people, and they like it. It's weird. They like it.
I think I've listened to it like a year or so ago, and after being completely removed from it, and I think that there is something really charming about it that like. There was nothing to gain from it other than just making our friends laugh, and I think that's what I think of all the projects. It really comes through on Pocket Malfunction.
Well, you know, I was wondering, you know, Andrew, do you still ever, you know, make beats?
Yeah, professional DJ and music writer, songwriter, and producer, beat maker. So, yeah, I mean, I took everything that I learned from Pocket Malfunction and applied it.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we made a new Pocket Malfunction song?
I knew that was coming.
Like, I might throw up. I don't know.
Colin might be apprehensive, but I mean, I'm game.
Yeah, I'll give it my best.
Awesome.
Sideshow costs money, sideshow is half funny, but I don't have weird podcasts or play this on the radio.
Back in my adolescence, back before the whoa, I met my man Bruce in Saga City, yo. That's the 661 north of the Southland. I was a lyricist, he was my right-hand man. We laid down our rhymes in Extreme's bathroom. He didn't have a mop, he didn't have a broom. It was a derelict place, our creative space, but we still pumped out the jams.
Sideshow costs money.
Yeah, we pumped them out just as long as we could. We were three young men, California wood.
Carpenters.
But we all grew apart as time went on. I moved to Glendale, Extreme was busy spinning songs. And you, Sean Jay, you went to big New York. You were as good as dead, you were Picard as Borg. You were all linked in, I was MoveOn.org. You were-
Jesus, man, enough, I get it.
Sideshow costs money, sideshows have funny. But I don't have weird podcasts or plays on the radio.
I can't believe you left us to go work for NPR.
I can't believe you never visit, I would rent a fucking car.
Airfare is super pricey, I'm a California dude.
Welcome to New York, It's been waiting for you.
Shut the up, Sean Jay. I don't even know what you do.
I make a podcast with people just like you.
Wait, really? Well, that's news to me.
Well, there's a 30-episode archive, and you can hear them all for free.
All right, maybe I will. Where do I subscribe?
On iTunes, son, but that shit's about to die.
What's going on? Did your shit get canned?
Nah, it's amicable, but thanks for asking, man.
So what's next? Where are you going to, Haas?
WNYC, don't worry, it'll be boss.
I hope you take flight, all the best of luck, and hope that one day you get Terry Gross to say fuck.
Sideshow costs money.
Fucking radio.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow. Really, thank you for listening to Sideshow. It's been the best making it for you and sharing it with you. Keep in touch. I'm on twitter.com @Ramisvaram, and when I'm doing whatever I'm doing next, I'll definitely let you know there. I can't thank Jenny Lawton enough, but thanks Jenny Lawton, David Krasnow, and Lital Molad too. They let me do this. Thanks David, thanks Lital. Thanks to Kathy Merritt and Melinda Ward at PRI for everything. Overdue thanks to Alethea John for all that beautiful singing. Thanks to Sideshow interns past and present, Kayla Hoke, Dasha Lisitsina, and Emil Klein.
You're welcome.
Sideshow got by with a little help from my brother Nimesh Ramaswamy, my hero Tessa Stewart, my homie Nick Fountain, my man in Amsterdam Darren Archer, my host Kurt Anderson, and everyone at Studio 360, Krista Ripple, Matt Frasica, Jules Henderson, Lynn Levy, Louis Mitchell, and Eric Malinsky. Thank you so much. Sideshow's theme music is amazing, right? It's by Nick Zamuto of Zamuto. The song's called Yay. Listen to Zamuto. Yay!
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was at it.